Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. After years of pause, Central Asian leaders, except the Turkmen president, are coming together in the same room to discuss matters of regional importance without the presence of any foreigner. In the history of Central Asia, such gatherings are a rare occurrence, and the last of which took place in 2009 with limited agenda of saving Aral. Though the Turkmen leader will be out, the March 15 summit is indeed a historical development. So on today's Majlis, we plan to discuss its importance, the agenda, the driving factor and absence of the Turkmen leader. To discuss this, I am joined by Ambassador Bakit Bashimov, lecturer at the Northeastern University and previously held numerous positions in the Kyrgyz government. Farouk Yusupi, the director of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Turkmen service, is joining us from Prague, alongside Bruce Panier, who is the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlag Owazi. Gentlemen, welcome on board.
Thank you for the invitation.
Very nice to have you. So the day is almost here, the March 15, when Nazarbayev will chair the meeting of Central Asian leaders after a long time, though I'm a little confused about the time frame. Is it the first gathering after 9 years or 13 years? I see two different information circulating on this.
No, I mean, they met for the RLC summit in 2009, so that's definite.
Oh, okay. Do we know what they are going to talk about?
I assume that the agenda of this meeting will be just get together, discuss common issues, and understand the positions of each state, and to just think how they can together promote, let's say, the common agenda. And after the new development in Uzbekistan, and when President Nazarbayev met with the new president of Uzbekistan, Mirziyoyev, after the just succession of power in Kyrgyzstan, when new president Sooronbay Jeenbekov just met with Kazakhstan. It seems to me it's time for all Central Asian leaders to get together and discuss very important issues.
Yeah, Bakit, is it your own assumption or you have seen these agendas somewhere written?
I assume on the base of my information, because when I first got this information about the gathering, for me, the first question was why they decided to meet, and how to understand this is a long period of absence of this kind of gathering. And through my network, I decided to clarify, and therefore, my assumption based on the information from my network.
No, okay. Bruce, we were earlier talking about that there is no written agenda yet, at least publicly available, on this summit, and summit is about to start next week. So what is all this secrecy about? And we were lucky enough that we have Ambassador Bakit on this. He brought some inside information on the table. But other than that, there is nothing available on public, is it?
I mean, there's not any information out there on public about it. But, you know, I would mention that this, you know, like Bakit's kind of got to, you know, they haven't all been together in a very, very long time. And we have two new faces here since the last time they met, of course. You know, Mirziyoyev in Uzbekistan and Jeenbekov in Kyrgyzstan. So it would be a good chance for, obviously it would have been better if all five got together, but even the four to get together with two new leaders there so that they can kind of discuss, you know, where's our common ground and what projects or policies could we pursue, you know, together. You know, one thing I would say that they probably will do a lot of talking about is the restoration of the unified energy grid. There's been talk from different countries about that, but they haven't had a formal agreement. I would imagine this is one of the easier issues that they could find agreement on.
Okay. Let's see. So, Farouk, you are wearing two hats here today. One is that Turkmenistan, the other the country where you originally belong to, Uzbekistan. And Uzbekistan is obviously an important topic here because Mirziyoyev is the initiator of this discussion, although it's happening in Kazakhstan. So what is in his mind? What are the objectives that he is going with to the summit?
Yeah, it's very interesting that it took a death of a president for more efforts to to be put the integration of the Central Asian nations. And it seems that you are right that President Mirziyoyev is, if not the champion, but at least the very vital part of this activated cooperation. And it is for the five Central Asian republics, at least for some countries like Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, it is very important to discuss coordination of their policies, especially keeping in mind what's happening in Russia, especially when Putin openly is saying that he regrets collapse of Soviet Union and only thing that he would fix today if he had power is to restore the Soviet Union. And in his last address, he openly and without any regard to his Central Asian counterparts said that with the collapse of Soviet Union, Russia lost 45% of its territory. Russia lost 40% of its population. I mean, he was talking like as if Central Asian countries or and other former Soviet countries were part of Russia. And I think it is very symbolic. And I hope that the leaders of the Central Asian countries, when they meet in Astana next week, will somehow keep this issue in their mind. And today, a very important meeting is taking place in Dushanbe. Yeah. This meeting has importance to other Central Asian countries too, when the two countries who were not very friendly to each other when Uzbekistan was ruled by the former president, Islam Karimov, are celebrating their rapprochement. If you see the streets of Dushanbe, from the pictures what we see, everyone is happy, everyone is celebrating, everyone is greeting each other, and everyone is talking about eternal friendship between the two nations. I mean, we haven't seen this kind of celebration of friendship between any countries of the region for many, many years.
Obviously, it's a huge development, and I think I was also reading another news coming out from today's discussion between Mirziyoyev and Rahmon that they just decided to cancel visa for the duration of 30 days for the citizens of these two countries, which is, if that's true, huge development. But under the surface, there are also major issues between these two countries. Bruce, you mentioned unified electric grid, right? And related to that is also you have the Rogon Dam, long-standing problem with the water sharing issue in Central Asia. What do you think, how much of the agenda will be covered by these kind of issues, which has been the long-standing, and also Uzbekistan has issues with Kyrgyzstan on the other side?
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because that really is one of the issues that they have to talk about.
Yeah.
They in public anyway, Mirziyoyev makes it look like, you know, everything is okay and they're kind of moving in the right direction. And just for a minute, I would note that although Mirziyoyev said today that he has no opposition to Rogun and Uzbekistan would even like to join in. In fact, Rogun is about to be launched before the end of the year anyway, so there's nothing he can do about it at this point. But that makes it all the more important that they do discuss water issues. Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan are downstream, so this is really important for them. And Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan have legitimate interests in developing their own hydropower industry. So it's something that's got to be on the table. I wouldn't expect there would be any solution to that at this summit, but it would be good if they would get that out and discuss it.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to Kyrgyzstan, Bakit, what are the underlying issues between Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan, and what do you expect to be discussed in relation to that in the upcoming summit?
Before that, I would like to explain how I understand why Mirziyoyev has decided to initiate this meeting and why I think that Astana is the right place to have this kind of meeting. First of all, Mirziyoyev spent about 15 years during Karimov's times as a prime minister. And analyzing his behavior, I see that he just a character comprised from two big things. First, he is a very pragmatic player. And secondly, he uses highly emotional appeals in order to convince the Uzbek public on the necessity of his reforms and so on. as a pragmatic person and who knows in detail economy of Uzbekistan, he would like to initiate the regional trade, and he would like to increase export of Uzbek goods. Therefore, he would like to resolve the border issues and to let the free flow of the people and the goods through the borders of these states. And after that, we can see several alarming factors. First, decline of Russia, and therefore it's uncertain how this decline can affect the economies of these countries. We can see them just a development of China's One Belt, One Road strategy. And it is important for Central Asian countries to just discuss this issue and to probably collectively make Chinese project in Central Asia more transparent and more just inclusive, because we know that China invests overwhelmingly to its own companies and less to. And the third trend is the decline of the supply of energy, oil and gas to China, to Russia. And therefore, this kind of factors, it seems to me, push Uzbek leader to go to Kazakhstan with Nazarbayev to discuss these issues, and after that discuss with the Tajik and Kyrgyz leader the possibilities to increase the trade between these countries. Mm. Regarding Kyrgyzstan, Kyrgyzstan economically in a very desperate situation. For Kyrgyzstan, it's so important to diversify economy and to do something in order to develop service sector and after that some manufacturing sectors. Because the gold is the main export of Kyrgyzstan is decreasing, and therefore Kyrgyzstan as well as Tajikistan highly dependent on remittances. In a long term, it is not a good trend for the economy of Kyrgyzstan. That's why I think President Jeenbek, it's important to think how he can promote the goods of Kyrgyzstan within the Central Asia.
Listening to all these comments, it looks like that they want to improve trade. They want to ease the people-to-people interaction. Looks like a very innocent agenda. Then, Farooq, why Berdimuhamedov is not there?
Oh, Berdimuhamedov, I think if this meeting happened 2 weeks ago, or maybe if it happened 3 weeks afterwards, I think he would very much want to go there. The main reason for his skipping this meeting is the upcoming parliamentary elections. Of course, everyone knows that Turkmen parliament is idle and no one believes that it decides anything. But in these elections, his son is going to take part, and I think he wants to make sure that everything goes smoothly, given that the dire economic situation and people's unhappiness with what's happening in Turkmenistan is a major concern for the president. A part of the problem is these economic concerns, economic problems induced him to stay in the country, not to leave the country in these important times, and to be there, God forbid, if something happens, because as we hear, Turkmen people's patience is running out, because every day we report about people storming into state-owned shops in order to take flour, because flour is very scarce in Turkmenistan at the moment. Or people, women blocking a highway between two towns because and demanding proper provision of basic staples like cottonseed oil and flour. So I think the main reason for him staying home is his concerns. Otherwise, I think there was no reason for him to skip this important meeting, because first, I mean, there would be a lot of things to discuss with his neighbors. There are no personal problems between Berdimuhamedov and any of the presidents, and this is not one of those CIS meetings or other kind of bigger international meetings that he usually shuns. So, and it would be a very, very good meeting for him to ask for some support from his closest neighbors.
Bruce, you had a story on this. What's your interpretation of Berdimuhamedov escaping this gathering? And also, does it matter for the participating countries that Turkmenistan is missing from the discussion?
I agree with everything Luke said there, you know, and I mentioned in some of that stuff in the paper I wrote. I don't know exactly why he wouldn't go to something like this. Even, you know, Farouk said that they're having parliamentary elections, but everyone knows their parliament's a joke.
Yeah.
But they do have some serious socioeconomic problems in the country that they've never seen before. That might worry him a little bit. You know, that said, at least they're sending a delegation. You know, the Speaker of Parliament is going to lead the delegation to go. So they are participating. There was a lot of meetings of the Central Asian heads minus Turkmenistan. But I mean, Turkmenistan, you know, in the past, but Turkmenistan didn't even send any representatives at all. It was just the other four presidents. And it was understood from the start that that was all it would be. So, it, you know, you could look at the fact that they're sending a parliamentary delegation as at least a positive sign that they, you know, that they're not excluding themselves from the whole process of hopefully regional cooperation. But on the other hand, you know, everyone knows that Berdimuhamedov makes all the decisions. So if the four presidents there want to sign an agreement, like I suggested, possibly the restoration of the unified energy grid, you can't really do that without Berdimuhamedov, because, you know, no decision is final until he makes it final. So even the Speaker of Parliament, I don't think, would have the authority to sign on to a five-party agreement at the summit. And that's a shame, because I'm sure they want to have something to show at the end. And they will anyway. But, you know, for all of them getting together, and here's progress, and here's these agreements we signed as an example of how our new cooperation can work.
And it will be very, very interesting and to see how awkward it will look for the head of the parliament, who doesn't have even a nominal power in Turkmenistan, to be sitting and talking with the four other presidents who are quite powerful in their related country.
Yeah.
May I add something? For me, it's not a surprise that the second Turkmen president is staying away from Central issues. Hmm. Firstly, this mental map, Central Asia, was artificially constructed, you know, by the Bolsheviks. And today, if you see at the economy of Uzbekistan, trade balance, export and import destinations, you can see that Central Asia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan play no role in the trade of Turkmenistan, no role. Among the, let's say, first destinations of Turkmen import or export, Kazakhstan. But Kazakhstan's share comprises a little bit more than 2%. And therefore, it seems to me that Turkmen president believes that TAPI project, which is gas pipeline to South Asia, and supply of gas to China and to Turkey. It seems to me he recognizes the realities of a new economic situation when Turkmenistan would like to be close to Middle East, to South Asian countries, Iran, and to find its own niche in this place, staying away from Central Asian issues. I am asking, why Turkmenistan should be interested in a close relations with Central Asian states?
Because at the moment, Turkmenistan is going through the what people call the worst economic crisis since gained independence. And it would be very much beneficial for Turkmenistan to come and talk with his Central Asian counterparts and ask them for help, I mean, behind closed doors, like off the record conversations, I think it would be very logical and very common sense move on the part of the Turkmen president.
Okay.
Who are able to help and how these countries can help? Kazakhstan in a better shape, but Kazakhstan has not financial resources to help to Turkmenistan. And the situation in Turkmenistan, it's generated by the terrible governance. And we know about very exotic behavior of the Turkmen president. But if we look at trade of Turkmenistan, we can see that among export destination, it's China. And after you can see Afghanistan, Turkey, and no Central Asia. To increase export to Central Asia, Turkmenistan should fit. What kind of goods Turkmenistan can supply? What kind of comparative advantage Turkmenistan has in this region?
Other than Turkmenistan, obviously, there are lots of other issues that will be on the agenda, will be discussed. Although it's not public, but what the panel has said is the improving trade will be one of them, in cross-border people-to-people activity, unified energy distribution might be one of the agenda items, and also maybe water sharing, you know, all these things. Now, these are the issues and which will not be discussed first time in such a gathering, but whenever they were discussed, they proved to be bigger than mountain. So discussion went nowhere in many of those agendas for years. Since they are resuming their group discussion, what are the chances that this time it will be any different? In how do the smaller countries look into this initiative put forward by one major country and is held in another major Central Asian country, and why it is a good time to speak about all these issues? We will continue Majlis talking about this and many other questions shortly. Hey everyone, before we get into the second part of the show, just a quick reminder that if you really like Majlis podcast, there's a real chance that you will also like my other radio show that's called Gandhara Podcast. The show discusses latest developments in Pakistan and Afghanistan from local perspective. And the podcast is published in every second week on Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's Gandhara website. It's a totally must-follow discussion for foreign policy nerds with interest in the region. First, let me recap the debate that today on Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. We are discussing the forthcoming Central Asia summit in the light of ups and downs in bilateral and regional relations among the countries in Central Asia. Joining me in the discussion are Ambassador Bakit Bashimov, lecturer at the Northeastern University, and he has previously held numerous positions in the Kyrgyz government. Farouk Yusupi, director of Araf Yarıl's Turkmen Service, is joining us, and also Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlok Uwazi, is with us today. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Majlis. Now, Bruce, maybe we can start with you. So to discuss all these issues that we think will be discussed, why it's a good time for such a gathering?
Well, I mean, we do have, you know, again, Mirziyoyev is a huge part of this. It's new leadership in Uzbekistan. There's opportunities present now that just haven't been there.
Yeah.
Since 1991, a lot of the things that went wrong with earlier meetings or attempts at cooperations were mainly, I think, because of personality conflicts among the leaders of the Central Asian countries. And really, the center of that was Islam Karimov.
Yeah.
He just couldn't seem to get along with a lot of people. You know, I mean, Niyazov, of course, kept away from everybody. So anytime you needed to make a deal, you know, and of course, geographically, we know Uzbekistan's right in the center of Central Asia. You can't do a lot if Uzbekistan is not willing to cooperate. And that was difficult. Karimov had this idea that his country was the most important in Central Asia, and that anything that had to be decided should not be decided without him having huge input in it, if not them actually adopting his decision. It made it hard to deal with him. You know, there were times where it changed from time to time, admittedly. If there was a security threat, he was much more amenable to cooperation in Central Asia. But generally speaking, he wanted everything in Central Asia to run his way.
You know, these agenda items, we will see where how it will end up. Probably we will be talking about the same topic next week on the Majlis too. But apart from the agenda items and apart from the ability that the countries, the leaders could resolve this, looking into the history of bilateral or the regional relations in Central Asia, Uzbekistan's ambition to be the regional leader in Central Asia itself has been the one of the main challenges which kept countries apart. Now, very fact that Tashkent is behind this summit, isn't this enough for smaller countries to remain suspicious that maybe Uzbekistan is again trying to dominate the region? Next door, Kyrgyzstan. Bakit, what do you say?
I think reasons for the suspicions are slim, and I don't think that leaders should be obsessed by this old suspicion. Among four leaders of upcoming event, we have at least three who are willing to push forward the agenda of cooperation and who would like just to get together and try to understand how they can do things better together. We have a Kazakh leader who are willing to just improve cooperation. We have Uzbek leader who would like just to make reforms in his own country and to make his country more transparent. And he would like just to push trade within the Central Asia. And the Kyrgyz president, who has a political will just to support their cooperation. Therefore, it is important for the leaders just to leave behind all this kind of suspicion, because cooperation anyway is better and all countries will benefit. But they, of course, should think more pragmatically how they can do better together.
Yeah, the idea of what they should is, you put it nicely, Bakit, but again, it was part of the history, isn't it, Bruce? Like, concern by some of the smaller countries. I know it from Turkmenistan. Niyazov was concerned about being dominated by a huge neighbor. This was the perception in the region. Did it disappear, or did Uzbekistan give up the claim of the regional leadership?
Well, there's got to be some suspicions on the parts of all the neighbors about what Uzbekistan's doing. I think all of them are relieved that there's a person leading Uzbekistan that they can talk to and not be yelled at. So I can see where they're trying to make the best of this and see if they can't push forward regional cooperation while the opportunity presents itself. Now, I'll also say that I'll give them a little credit for some maturity. We're 26 years down the road here after independence. And, of course, when they were all, in the early years of independence, they probably tended to view Uzbekistan with a lot more suspicion anyway, since all of them were trying to get themselves on their feet, so to speak, and everything like that. Bakit mentioned China and Farouk mentioned Russia. And this is something also that maybe they should think about alone. Individually, they don't have much chance of resisting Russia or China's will, albeit in different forms, economic or security. So it would make sense for them to get together, if nothing else, and say, we are Central Asian and we can get regional cooperation, and we won't let China steal everything, all our energy resources, and pack it away, without getting something substantial in return. And we won't let Russia dictate to us about security matters when perhaps we can come up with some solutions on our own and not be dependent upon the former colonial master.
I would like to add why I said that's important for the leaders to leave behind suspicion, because Central Asia is getting more diverse. If you look at recent picture, Kazakhstan shifting to Latin alphabet, and in the next few years, Kazakhstan with Uzbekistan will be two Latin alphabet-based countries. Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan were members of Russian-led Eurasian Economic Union. And also they were members of CSTO. Uzbekistan out of these blocs and unions. And Tajikistan, being the part of CSTO, is out of Eurasian Economic Union. And Turkmenistan completely neutral. Therefore, we are getting more diverse, and therefore, a political will of leaders to promote cooperation and to find the common agenda and to understand how we can collectively just a design, common project of development, very important. If, for instance, we'll be suspicious that Uzbekistan's intention is to be the leader, I don't think that is a rational attitude, because Uzbekistan is far behind of Kazakhstan. And for Uzbekistan, with a large population, with a relatively developed economy, and with just dependence on remittances, and with difficulties in promoting export, it's not the time to think about the leadership in the region. It's time to think how to make economy of Uzbekistan better. But I agree, Muhammad, with one issue, because it is more a deep topic. What will happen if Uzbekistan will improve its economy, increase its export, and try to push forward its own political ambitions? It is another topic. And
what's the guarantee that it will not going forward?
It's impossible to understand the deep intentions. But what I see today, it's a will of the Uzbek leader just to promote regional trade and to open Uzbekistan for all neighboring countries. I support this trend. In his policy.
Yeah,
and I would also like to add that Mirziyayev, any leader who comes in future, I mean, they will know that what happened to Uzbekistan when it had the ambitions under former president. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a closed country, economy was not doing very well, and Karimov was, I think, probably the most hated among the presidents of the Central Asian countries by the public and among the counterparts themselves. And I think acting with common sense and wisely and forgetting about this kind of leadership ambitions, I mean, what does leadership bring to any country? It will bring nothing more than being isolated. And people Mirziyayev knows it, and I think and I hope that other presidents who will come in the future will know what happened to the region and to each country when they had this kind of, I would say, silly ambitions.
Okay, these are very logical common sense ideas and proposals. So to conclude the discussion, so what is the best outcome you can see coming out of this summit, Bruce?
Well, there'll probably be some statement of renewed. They've done a lot of this eternal friendship stuff in the past. It kind of loses some of its value after a while. But before it's worth, I imagine they will have some joint statement at the end that they invigorate cooperation in the region and explore new territories of interest where they can all get on board with something or the other. You know, for me, it would be enough if they would just get along. And at the end of the meeting, agree that this is going to be something they're going to do on a regular basis, annually, or even, you know, maybe even another one before the end of the year. Give Berdy Muhammadov a chance to join the crowd. You know, maybe, you know, Farouk suggested that maybe this was just a bad time for him. So if they did it again in 5 or 6 months and they could all agree on, that would be a good start for me.
Okay. Bakit and Farouk, briefly, please, on this question.
This time is so important for them to get together to discuss, and I just focusing my attention on the quality of discussions and the positions of the countries, how I understand the whole situation in the region, and how we would like to cooperate and just to improve the cooperation. This is important because you see the gap between the last meeting and this is upcoming meeting. Therefore, it's a timely meeting. Our Central Asian leaders.
Okay, Farouk, your thoughts on the potential outcome?
I don't think there will be any kind of earth-shattering agreement signed, but I hope that it will be a very good start for regional cooperation. Even if these four presidents and the head of the parliament gather around the Beshbarmak of friendship, I think it will be a very good start for regional cooperation and regional integration.
Yeah. Okay.
Nicely formulated, yeah.
Very nice ending. Thank you very much, Farouk, Director of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Turkmen Service, and Ambassador Bakit Bashimov, lecturer at the Northeastern University, and Bruce Panier, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlak Uwazi. Thank you, colleagues, for your time and thoughts today.
Thank you very much.
This is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.